Okay, so my name's Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 2nd of September, 2009, and the time is 5:15 in the afternoon. Can you tell me, please, your name, your age, and where you come from?
Yes, I'm Helen Crowther, I'm 39, and I'm from Blackpool.
Okay. When was it you found out about the One Another Project?
Oh, it's back in June. There was a link on the BBC website, and I thought, oh, that sounds amazing, so I'm going to go for that, with no expectation of getting a place, and it just happened, and I was pretty amazed, really.
Yeah, how did you feel when you received the
email? Oh, a bit shocked, because I thought, oh, I'm going to be part of this national project, and Anthony Gormley's so famous with all these other projects. I thought, oh, that's just going to be incredible, to be part of something, you know, like the Angel of the North and Crosby Beach and what have you, and I thought, it's that kind of style of thing, and that really fascinates me, so that's why I'm here.
And what is it you're going to do when you're up on the plane?
Well, because I'm from Blackpool and I'm a librarian, I've got to try and find some way of putting those two things together. And it so happens that, one of my passions is reading and writing and getting people to think about poetry and books. So I'm going to get up there and showcase some of the poems by people that I know, people that I work with, poems about Blackpool, just to show that Blackpool isn't this sort of gaudy, cheap, nasty place that everybody thinks it is. And to show that there's a big creative, you know, urge and a big creative sort of excitement about the place that people outside don't know about.
And how did you get into library work and books and literature?
I kind of fell into it. I mean, I always loved literature, and I was such a reader as a kid. And it's that whole amazing of just, you know, a writer creating a whole other world and it not being at all anything like your own experience, and having that person touch you in an emotional way or an intellectual way, and I think I fell into the job sort of by mistake almost, but since then it's just been so meaningful to me, just to be able to put a book into somebody's hands and say, yeah, I think you'll like this, and they go, yeah, I absolutely love that book, and getting people excited about it. So there you go.
What's your favourite kind of literature?
Oh, my favourite books. If it's not written by a 19th century distressed female, then I'm not interested. You know, I have to read Charlotte Bronte, anything. I mean, when I was studying, I studied like the 19th century literature, so that's really been a big sort of interest of mine, a big period for me. Just when women's rights were starting to blossom, and the writing became more and more available to women as a form of expression, and it's that's where it's from, really, I think.
So, and what is it you write?
I don't write anything, but I make a good critic. Because I have to choose the books, and I had to choose the poems today. And hopefully it's representative of the sort of endeavour that there is in Blackpool. So I don't write, but I'm good at promoting what other people do.
And for the record, can you give us a bit of an insight into some of the stuff that you're going to be reading and talking about when you're up on the plane?
Yeah, there's a guy called John Siddique who's been Blackpool's poet in residence, and he's just written a suite of poems that's going to be launched on National Poetry Day, but I'm going to sort of will premiere them today. And he's been involved with the place where I work, Blackpool Sixth Form College, and he's come in and talking to the students, and he's been a real inspiration to the students. And he's written a phenomenal suite of poems about Blackpool, and it's about the love that people have for the place. There's going to be a famous monologue called Albert and the Lion that loads of people will know, but I'm going to do that and try and do it in a Lancashire accent, well, more of a Lancashire accent than I've got. And then there's some serious poems by my colleagues, and then I'm going to finish with one that was specially written for the occasion. So, and hopefully do some games as well while I'm up there, if people are up for it, and I'm hoping they will be. Fingers crossed.
And a little bit more about your background. So you said you went and studied kind of specialism in the
community. Yeah. My background is I was born in Blackpool, so I'm not a Sangroan, because my dad's from Blackpool, but my mum's from Manchester. But Blackpool's a place where most people have come from outside and have a different perspective on the place and come to live there. And then, like, my dad is actually, I mean, he goes as far back in Blackpool as anybody can. And then he was the one, really, who sort of inspired me to read and kept me reading. And he's more or less self-educated, my dad, and that's been very formative, and that's kind of led me to where I am today, really.
So, what other interests do you have in your spare time and out of work?
Oh, God. I don't have hobbies, exactly. I'm a singer. I can sing. And I'm involved with various like community projects, just where I live, and like tenants association, credit union, that kind of thing. But I don't really got any hobbies really. No, I don't. I mean, I do things, but I wouldn't say like they were building a, you know, a model of Tower Bridge with matchsticks. It's not like that kind of thing that I do. But it's just being really involved in Blackpool. I think that's giving something back to the town, even if it's only a little bit, because I think I owe it.
What community projects have you been involved in?
There's a tenants association, which is like just looking after our own little area where I live, the estate where I live. And just trying to make it better and nicer, because again, Blackpool labours under being a bit scruffy. You know, it does have a scruffy reputation, and the places are a bit scruffy. So our tenants association tries to make that better. And that's just ordinary neighbours sort of getting together. And then the credit union again, because Blackpool's got a lot of poverty, we're trying to do something that will help people save money and give them affordable loans, because people get into a lot of trouble in Blackpool, you know, with loans and stuff. So it's just trying to improve that as well. So I'm a bit of a Blackpool girl, really. So you can take the girl out of Blackpool, but you can't take Blackpool out of the girl. So I'm just really keen on promoting Blackpool.
So who would you say you're going on plinth for?
Who am I going on plinth for? Well, I'm going on for myself, because Ace Project's got to be involved in it. I'm going on for my colleagues at work who are, you know, a lot of them are writers, and I want to say, I'm just desperate to say, look how good this stuff is and how amazing it is, and give it a wider audience. And I'm probably doing it for the town as well. Mostly I'm doing it for the town, I mean, whether they know I'm doing it or not. Just to say, Blackpool, you know, reputation, bit of a problem. But actually, you know, there's a lot going on, and I want to show people that, if it's only for an hour. And it'll fly by, it'll absolutely fly by, but I want to do it, so.
And what impact would you like your hour to have?
I don't know, I want people to go away thinking, oh, that was something interesting in Trafalgar Square, you know, because it's this age project. So I want people to go away thinking, oh, she was all right, you know, or we saw this girl, or, you know, doing the poetry and stuff, and we got a piece of Blackpool rock, and we got a postcard, you know, that's quite good. And also people at home, if they're watching, just to think, oh, local girl up there doing it, you know. And I think that's it's although it's one another, it's one person, and it's another. What is it that is other? Is it your community that you're coming from? Is it the people in the square? You know, it's that kind of thing that's in the back of my mind, really. But I will be scared witless when I'm up there, I have to say. But you know.
Why are you scared? Because
it's high up, because everybody's going to be looking at me, because I'm the most self-conscious person in the world, and it's a bit of a challenge for me, because I am quite self-conscious, and I don't enjoy people looking at me that much. So, you know, it's sort of stepping out of where I'm comfortable and going into a very, very uncomfortable environment and seeing if I can battle my way through it. So that's why I want to do it.
And what hopes and fears do you have?
For the next hour?
Yeah.
My fear is that people will just sod off and not listen, or that me loud Taylor won't work, and I'm going to have to try and shout above this traffic. But my hope is that I'll have a good time and see if I can get one or two. You know, I've got one or two people coming, and see if, you know, I can get people listening and just see what happens, really. And also, I guess it's that comfort thing, but you know, even though it might not be that comfortable an experience, I still have to go out and do it. Still have to do it, you know, and be there for an hour.
And how do you think the experience might affect you?
I'll be glad that I've done it, because this is genuinely a sort of one-off, isn't it? It's never going to happen again. Anthony Gormley's never going to do anything like this again. Somebody as famous as Anthony Gormley, somebody as good as him, he's never going to do anything like this again. And, you know, most art projects don't involve ordinary people, do they not? So I've really been part of that project, only for a fleeting moment, but just something that transcends the whole, you know, sort of, you've got to go out there on the cherry pick and you've got to go and sign some forms and all the rest of it, but just to have a genuinely sort of artistic moment.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Oh, God. That's like the hardest question ever. I don't know, I don't know. You'd have to ask somebody else. I can't, describing myself, it eludes me, really. Because I like to think that I'm a kind, nice, generous, decent, giving, patient person, but I know that my friends and my colleagues would say something different, you know. And actually, the whole, again, the art project is about individuals and personality, but personality is very, it's very slippery, really. And I've often thought about this, that it's very difficult to say what you are, because you're only really what you say and do. And I don't know if there is this core of personality that you can really describe. But I think I'm proud of where I come from, and I'm very aware of what that's given me. You know, that sort of northern attitude, and, you know, that English sort of perspective on things, really. But I really, really have to stay vague on that one. I do have to stay vague on that one, because I don't know.
Can you expand a little bit on what you said about the northern attitude and the English kind of perspective?
Yeah. Because it's about a sense of place, really. And so many people don't necessarily have a sense of place or a sense of where they come from, and I do. And I'm glad that I've got that. I'm glad I've been given that. Because I know exactly where I come from, and the sort of family that I have, and my, you know, my background, and the places my ancestors came from. And I think I'm glad that I've got that, and the fact that it's northern, and it's not all, you know, we don't keep cold in the bath. It's not like that. It's just a whole sort of attitude of having to battle against things a lot of the time. And because I'm from a working class background, I'm probably not working class myself, but I'm from a working class background, and knowing what that's given me and the sort of culture and heritage. So perhaps that's where I'm going with the northern attitude thing, the northern understanding of, you know, having to battle your way through sometimes. And also to bring a bit of the north southwards is actually quite interesting, because all the accents I've heard today have all been southern accents, you know, and I think that's going to be interesting, just seeing, you know, I don't know if people will react or not, but you know, just bring a bit of the north to the metropolis, because I think London sort of forgets that there's anything else, really, sometimes, maybe. So we'll see.
What kind of opinions and thoughts do you have about London and Trafalgar Square as a place?
Oh, it's the busiest place. This is loud. I thought Blackpool was a bit loud, but this is really loud. And I'm just shocked by the noise. Just the traffic and the people and the busyness and the constant to and fro, and, you know, if nothing else, it'll be a chance for me to stand in one place just for an hour and not actually go anywhere or do anything, because it seems the compulsion in London is to be constantly moving and constantly going somewhere, and the place is full of tourists who are all going somewhere, and just to stand there for an hour is a bit contradictory, like, for, you know, for the sort of environment, really. So I think that would be quite interesting.
And what would you say then are the most important things to you at the moment, maybe here in Trafalgar Square or in your life?
The most important things? The most important things are probably, you know, keeping my family sort of going, really. And that, you know, or being part of my family and trying to, you know, there are all sorts of obsessions and difficulties, aren't there? But you know, I think that's what's important to me. And here in Trafalgar Square is just making sure I survive the next hour, and hopefully people have a bit of fun as well. Because I think what I'm concerned about is the impact myself has, means I have on other people. I don't know what that is. I mean, I'm always troubled by what people, you know how it will come across to people, and therefore standing on the plinth and seeing what people do is a pretty good indicator of you know, sort of how popular I'm going to be out there. So, you know, I'm always anxious about how people respond to me, because I don't really know that, I think.
And how are you feeling just before you go out? What's the emotional journey been from finding out to...
God, I turned into a bloody nervous wreck, and it's the expectations of everybody, because I thought, well, I mean, I could not tell people that I'm going to go on the plinth, but it's going to be a bit obvious, isn't it? And I thought, well, if I tell people, well, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of expectation, and I think it's not disappointing those people who are going to be watching, because I know people are going to be watching at home, and there's going to be people down in the square, and it's that I'm a bit nervous about. I mean, I think really I was a bit clueless when it happened. I thought, yeah, I'll just stand on it for a bit or something. But oh no, I think it's more than that, and I think the nerves have really got to me now. But
any final comments on being part of the One Another project and being part of this unique experience, as you said?
just that it that what I like about this piece of art is the fleetingness of it, and the fact that it won't happen again, and that it's an hour and it's a different person every hour for 100 days, and it's the slipperiness and fleetingness of that that is that creates a quite an enduring sort of project. And I think that's what's interesting. You know, so there's a whole, don't get me banging on about art, but I think that's really what's interesting for me as a final comment.
Quickly tell us about art.
Oh, God, what's art? Oh, no. Right, I don't know. It's anything that is created that is expressive of, and it can be bloody anything, can't it? But it's expressive of some impulse in somebody to show the world something about themselves or something about the viewers or the participants. I think that's what art is. It reflects something of ourselves, really. So that's why Damien Hirst's Shark is still art, even though people say it isn't. that's my you know, sort of opinion, but there you go.
Great, thank you very much.
No, thank you.